We are to declare that God keeps his promises by giving him the first fruits.
From Deuteronomy, Pastor Ray Bentley explains how giving helped honor God's promises.
I want to declare that I'm in the land that you promised to my forefathers. And basically what you're declaring is, God, you keep your promises.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel, to the whole world. It's never a mistake to believe God means what he says. And when the Lord promises certain blessings, we can trust him to deliver, so long as we meet the terms and conditions of his promise. Today, Pastor Ray helps us uncover some of those blessings God extends to his children. Here's Pastor Ray to begin.
Let's open our Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 26, and you'll see that the title of the message is The Recipe for Happiness. Now, can you be too happy, really? How many of you would love to even be more happy than you are right now? Okay, well, here it is. It's interesting that as we get into this, and what it talks about is actually a recipe for happiness. Okay, so we're going to be following along in the what I call life lessons. So here's the first life lesson, if you want to follow along and fill in the blank in your little outline there. We are to declare that God keeps his promises by giving him the first fruits. Now, this is going to be ancient Israel going into the promised land. They're the first generation to actually go into the promised land. Then they're going to divide up the land according to their tribes, and then each family will have their own individual farm, and then they'll grow their first year's crops. And God wants them to know, when you get your first crops from this new land, I want you to honor me with the first fruits. So beginning in verse 1 of chapter 26, here's what he says. And it shall be, when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and you possess it and dwell in it, that you shall take some of the first of all the produce of the ground, which you shall bring from your land that the Lord your God is giving you, and put it in a basket, and then go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. And you shall go to the one who is priest in those days and say to him, I declare to the Lord your God that I have come to the country which the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. So the idea is you're to take the first fruits, put it in a basket, bring it to the place God would show, which ultimately will be Jerusalem, and then get the priest, and then this young, new generation with this new land and with these crops are to say, I want to declare in the house of the Lord that I'm in the land that you promised to my forefathers. And basically what you're declaring is, God, you keep your promises. You keep your word, and I am declaring it, and I'm honoring you with the first fruits of all that you have given to me. Can you say this morning that we serve a God who keeps his promises? He does. He keeps his word, and he keeps his promises. So in everything that God had given to the children of Israel, whenever from now on they would reap a harvest, they were to thank and to praise God and to give to the Lord the first fruits first. They were to give their first fruits to the Lord. And the reason for this is to acknowledge that every good thing that comes into our lives comes from him. And so our tithes, now the concept of tithes is right there in the Old Testament, which means tenth. These are the first fruits. The tithes are the first fruits. And then even beyond that, they were encouraged to give more generously. Offerings are to be given to God first out of all that we are blessed with. It is an offering to praise him, and it also should be done in a particular way. He said, do it joyfully. Do it with rejoicing. Do it in celebration of our tremendous joy for God's goodness and provision in our life. Now, this is foundational. As a new believer, the scripture that needs to be memorized and burned within our minds and hearts is Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then everything else will be added to you. Have you learned that? Put God first. Honor him first. There are some believers that try to add God to their basket of life. That's not the way that it works. He is first, our Heavenly Father, the heart of the Father, to live for him, to please him, to walk with him, if you put him first. Jesus promises everything else you could have ever hoped for, dreamed of, and being fulfilled as a human being, as a man or as a woman, will come back to you 100-fold in this life as well as in the life to come. So, this was to be done as a claim to their inheritance. Now, I want to say to all of you, remind you, the promises of God, there's a scripture in the New Testament that says, all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. You can claim our inheritance is the spiritual inheritance of the promises of God in the Bible. That's why I encourage every true disciple, believer, committed follower of Jesus, read the Bible for yourself a little bit each day. Because there are 7,000 promises in the Bible. It is a rich inheritance. It's almost like you have an open checkbook, and God has, you can't take out of his resources. He has unlimited resources. Jesus said, you can ask anything of my Father in my name, and it shall be yours. So basically, you just write in the amount and the desire from the promise of the Word of God, and God will bless you with it. So, the confession, they're not only to give to the Lord, they're to make a public confession. And the public confession begins with Israel's inheritance into the land of Canaan. Now, this would have reminded them that they crossed the Jordan River as they go into the land. Actually, there are two places of water they cross. When they left Egypt, they crossed the Red Sea, miraculously. It is a symbol of baptism. Then, as they're ready to enter the Promised Land, they cross the Jordan River, again, a symbol of baptism, as they enter into a covenant relationship with a covenant-keeping God. So as I mentioned here in your notes, the same God who 40 years earlier had opened the Red Sea to the nation to get them out of Egypt also now opens up the Jordan River so they can go in and claim the Promised Land. That baptism means they are a covenant people. Did you know that we're in a covenant relationship with God? It's a holy covenant. It's a sacred commitment. God has made a commitment to us. We likewise make a holy, sacred commitment to him, and you're bound together in one in that way. Now, once you have made that covenant relationship with the Lord, there are two things that we learn. Number one, God brought them out of Egypt so they could go into the Promised Land. Let me put it this way. God wants every human being to come out of their Egypt. All of us have a Egypt, which is kind of our past. He wants you to come out of that place. There are certain places that once you enter into a covenant relationship with God that are not good for you to go back to or visit. You remember how Israel kept wanting to go back to Egypt, but they had the wrong reasons, wrong motivation. That's where they were in bondage. That's where they were mistreated. That's where they were abused. That's where they were afflicted. That's where they were slaves for 400 years. So God brings us out of some places in order that he might bring us in to new places. You can't enter into and enjoy the new places God has for you until you leave the old places. And then secondly, there are certain people that we also are to let go of. Obviously those who used and beat and abused them in order that they might enter into new relationships. So there may be for some of you, you know, as you get into a relationship with God and a covenant relationship with Him, there may be some relationships that have to change in order that you can enter into new relationships, new family, new commitment, new covenant as you walk with Him. Amen? So, you know, and we will continue to be a light and a witness to those who are unbelievers in our family and friends. It's not that we can't be away from all unbelievers, but there are some that we have to be able to go out from that we can go into. I like what years later Joshua would say. In Joshua chapter 21, verse 45, as he led them into the promised land. Let's read this scripture out loud together. Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. God kept his word. It took a long time. It was a long journey from where they started with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then the 12 sons, and then down in Egypt, and 400 years. It was a long journey. But finally, ultimately, inevitably, God kept everything that he had said. All came to pass. So it's good to, and then, so God says, okay, you millennial, you young, you know, guys that are coming into the land, when you come into the house of the Lord, declare it with your mouth. God is faithful. God keeps his promises that he made to my grandparents, to my forebears. Okay, so then let's go to the next life lesson. So this whole ceremony with these young Israelis entering in for the first time into the promised land with their first land, their first farms, their first crops and harvest, and they're to honor the Lord with the first fruits. But we are also to remember what God has delivered us from. What has God delivered you from? What has he delivered me from? Look in verse 4. It says, then the priest shall take the basket out of your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. There's something intentional that is going on when he brings this basket and he brings this offering before the Lord. Now, the young farmer that's standing now in the promised land after they first get the land and they have their first harvest, this new generation, they have it really pretty good. But God wants him, the reason he's making him intentionally go through this process of going to the place that the Lord tells them and making this declaration, God has kept his promise, is that he needs to recognize, God wants the young man and his young wife and his young children to realize that all of his blessings is not the product of a single harvest. It's much, much more than that. Actually, this whole new, fresh generation that first inherited the promised land found themselves standing in an extremely privileged place, a special place in history. And if you go back in history, you know, for this young generation, think back. Go backwards. Things did not look so pretty not too long ago. In fact, their own parents had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years and then perished in the wilderness. And the grandparents before that, and going back generations before that, had been slaves for 400 years. In other words, here you are, a new generation, and you have all of this great land, you have all of this prosperity, you have all of these blessings, you're standing in the house of the Lord. You need to recognize, God wants you to be conscious that there were many, many, many generations who went through great misery and who made great sacrifices in order for you to stand in the place of prosperity and privilege in which you are now standing. All right? How fate has now smiled upon you. So, here's the next life lesson. We must remember where we came from. We're to remember not only what God has delivered us from, but we also must remember where we came from. Now look with me in beginning of verse 5. He says in verse 5, and you shall answer and say before the Lord your God. So God's telling the young generation, he's giving them a speech. He not only tells them to make a declaration that God keeps his promises, but here's what I want you to say. I want you to verbalize this. My father was a Syrian, about to perish, And he went down to Egypt and dwelt there, few in number. And there he became a nation, great, mighty, and populous. But the Egyptians mistreated us, and they afflicted us, and they laid hard bondage on us. Then we cried out to the Lord God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and looked on our affliction and our labor and our oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. He has brought us to the place that he has given us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which you, O Lord, have given me. Wow, God actually gives them a speech. Say this, rehearse this. And it all starts, I want you to notice in verse 5. You shall answer and say before the Lord your God. Now, as you're reading that, when you say, okay, I want you to give this answer, then if you give an answer, it means there must be a question. If you notice in the passage, there's no question. He just says, I want you to answer this. So what is the question? I think that what God is saying is the question is inferred into the text. In other words, he wants that young man and that young woman, if they take a good, hard look at themselves, there's actually a very uncomfortable question that they must confront. And the question that they must ask as they stand there with all of this blessing, with all this prosperity, with all of this land that is now theirs for the very first time after so many long years, what is it that distinguishes me from all those who have gone before me? Why am I chosen to be the generation of Jews who will actually inherit the promised land? After so many of my parents and grandparents and my ancestry and the tree from which I have come had it so hard and so tough for so long. Now, I can say, look, I worked really hard on this land. I developed it. I planted it. But can I really take credit for all of these blessings? Yes, the bounty is mine, the harvest is mine, but can I actually stand here and say, I deserve this? I deserve all this land? I deserve all these riches? I deserve all of this prosperity? God is wanting them to answer the question, why am I so fortunate? Why am I, of all our generations, so blessed? And it's a very sobering question. It's a sobering question not only for those in ancient Israel thousands of years ago, but it's also a very sobering question for you and I who are here this morning in this service, in this city, in this nation, at this particular time. We must answer the question, why are we so blessed to live now? To live right at this very moment and this very time. What if we had been the ones, you know, it's not that far ago. Could be some of our grandparents or whatever. They call them the greatest generation in American history that were in World War II. How come nobody here were the ones that were born that had to go to war in the Second World War and go to Normandy in France, where they come off these ships, where there are guys with machine guns literally mowing guys down, young men down that are 18, 19, 20 years, 21 years of age. How come we weren't them, as the White Crosses there in Normandy, France, testify to this day? And how come we weren't one of the 60 million people who died in World War II, when the world was literally about to come unglued? Do we even think of them or remember them that made that great sacrifice so we can enjoy fighting and talking about all the things that we are invested in today? Or go back even a little further than that to World War I. World War I, 38 million people died. How come we didn't live and were born in that generation to go into that battle or to use our lives? And mostly it's young people that die. Or even as you think to the Great Depression, how come we weren't born in that generation when we lost everything, and to live through that and go through that? Or going even further back, how come we're not the ones that were in the Revolutionary War, where they came across and basically starting from nothing, and at the same time, those that we had left send an army and call us traitors and want to hang us? Where are those who started everything? And quite honestly, they're not the beginning of the chain. It goes back even to other countries and other places before them, who suffered greatly, that got them to the place where they were like, let's put all we have in a little shoebox and get on a boat and leave and start all over. And those who came even from there, it goes back and it goes back and it goes back. If you and I had any clue as to the tree, the further back we would go, you would see the suffering, the sacrifices, what they went through. And all you and I are here today, we're just the last link in a very, very long chain who went before us, who gave everything, who sacrificed everything. Many of them gave their lives. Many of them, you know, coming, all those that came through Ellis Island as immigrants with nothing but a dream and a hope. And here we stand with all this blessing, prosperity, and privilege. God is saying to those who are here now, he's asking them a sobering question. Do you deserve what all those who went before you did so that you could enjoy where you stand today? He's not shaming them. He's educating them. He's wanting to open their eyes. He's wanting them to really consider, do I really deserve this? How will the most blessed generation choose to confront that question? Because at that moment in time, the new fresh generation that went into the promised land, after their land, their first crops, they had to confront a great question. That generation had to make a choice. And the word lays out for him the choice that he must make. It basically, he says, you need to remember where you came from. You need to honor those who went before you, the sacrifices they made. And you need to demonstrate it personally and publicly by declaring to God, God, I know where this all came from. I owe them something, and I owe you, because I am alive and here today under this blessing of fate and history and fulfillment of the promises to my forebears, and I am honoring you with the first fruits.
Pastor Ray Bentley, with important perspective on what a blessed generation we are. Good insight today here on Maranatha Radio. And if you'd like a permanent copy of today's study, get in touch and ask for The Recipe for Happiness, Part 1. We'll be glad to send the CD your way for just $7. Just mention the title, The Recipe for Happiness, Part 1. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Deuteronomy on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're making available your book, The Holy Land Key, and there's so much to learn from your insights, so many eye-opening facts. How do you hope that this information will change us once we've read it?
Well, that's a great question, Dave. I think as the world is focusing on the Middle East with all these refugees and the millions running every which way, and by the way, millions of them coming to faith in Jesus Christ, God wants to give us a lens to be able to see what he's doing on the earth right now. And the lens for the prophecy of his return is Israel. And that's what the book really goes into detail about.
How did this book change you as you researched it and wrote it?
Boy, I learned some things that I didn't know. Even being a pastor for decades, I learned some new revelations, some new layers of looking at Israel, looking at it geopolitically, what God is doing on the earth right now, and the promises that he has given. And it just put a fire in my heart to want to live for the Lord and want to share my faith with my friends and family.
All right. Well, we're talking about Pastor Ray's book, The Holy Land Key. It's a book that belongs in your library. It's available to our listeners for just $10. Write us at Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Deuteronomy. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.